Thank you, Melissa. Thank you, Pastor Randy, for just reminding us that when the Word of God speaks, it's okay for us to just be silent in that space and to receive from the Word of the Lord. When we were together a few weeks ago, I think it was it on Wednesday or Thursday night of our Love Reality Tour week, Jonathan came and said, "There's not going to be a sermon. We're just going to read from the Scripture." We had a time of testimony, a time of worship together, and we read together aloud from Matthew 26 through the end of the chapter, the end of the book, three chapters: the death and the crucifixion, the resurrection, the Great Commission. I think I've had several people who've told me one of the most powerful nights of the week, just being together, worshiping the Lord, and receiving from the Word. So thanks for reminding us that in a song. It's spring break time, which means that some teachers are breathing a big sigh of relief right now. I've got a couple weeks to take a deep breath and grade some papers. Enjoy your vacation, teachers. Sorry, that was not fair, was it? I know that some teachers are leaving to go on mission trips. And we had in first service today Mr. Gang from PAA getting ready to leave for Fiji tomorrow. And there are a bunch of students that are leaving on mission trips. And so we wanted to take a moment and just recognize that fact and recognize the fact that God is using people from this congregation and from schools that are represented here and from all over to be a blessing right now in acts of service. And the experiences that they have there are life-changing kind of experiences for them and for others. Anybody here who's going to Fiji tomorrow? Anybody leaving for Fiji tomorrow? Right on, Tiana. Excellent. Anybody else? Oh, Amber. Good. Am I missing anybody's hands? All right. Anybody doing the local Portland mission trip that's happening? All right. Rochelle? We got a young one in the back, got her hand up. That's awesome. All right, good. No, it's fun raising your hands. We're going to give you an opportunity to do that in a little bit here, too. What else? Anybody else going on a mission trip somewhere? All right. Oh, Cuba. Yeah, that's true. There are a couple of people in Cuba right now, and one of them is my daughter. Pray for her, y'all, and pray for me. I just sent my 15-year-old daughter to Cuba. I'm like, what was I thinking? And then, that's what you're thinking, on the way home from the airport, except for I didn't drive her to the airport. I had a Ashok do that. So, see, you give us a pastoral intern. It's like, hey, can you take my daughter to the airport? She's going on a mission trip. Anyway, it's a long story, but it was good. I was at home, and I was thinking about, what have I done? And then I remembered that I went as a student missionary for a year in Nazareth, Israel, about a month before Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait, and I was there all during Operation Desert Shield, and my mom had some serious gray hairs about that. So I'm like, well, the fact that Keely picked, a communist country to go to on her first mission trip, I'm like, okay, God's got this. It's going to be awesome. And we know that the communication is limited, but I know that God is blessing that. Can I just share a testimony quickly about the value of Christian education? I'm so thankful that we have Christian men and women pouring into our sons and daughters in Christian education. Keely is with six students who are with Rita Barrett and her husband Mike. Rita's the Spanish teacher at PAA, and that's Portland Adventist Academy. And her students lovingly call her Profe. So we were talking for a minute. I said, "Hey, Profe, I'm really glad that Keely's going. She's a second-year Spanish student, and this is going to really help her Spanish. I know it's going to be a blessing to her. I know that you guys are going to be a blessing to others." And Profe said, "I want you to think about something." She's like, "This is not a 10-day mission trip. This is a 6-month discipleship process." And those students have been meeting together regularly, praying together, working together, preparing over these last 6 months. Keely, I can say this because she's not here, but she's been getting up earlier in the mornings to be able to read her Bible, and this experience is something that is really deepening her faith. And I'm just personally grateful as a father that there are men and women that are pouring into our kids on a regular basis, just the love of Jesus. And so as we're praying, for these teams, the mission teams that are going, and every student and staff member that's represented, let's just lift up a prayer together of thanksgiving to the Lord. And if you're sitting next to Tiana or Amber, you want to just reach out a hand and just lay a hand on them, I'm going to say a prayer right now, and we'll just ask God's blessing. Rochelle, sorry, who else? Okay, if someone raised their hand, there you go. Okay, let's pray. Jesus, we are grateful to come into your presence today, and we just are grateful for the ways that you're using young and old in this church and in our community all around Portland and beyond. We're thankful for the ways that we see you at work. We see revival happening, and we know that part of what you're doing is you're using people to be able to be messengers of your love right here in Portland, far away places like Fiji and Cuba and other places. Lord, we just ask your blessing on every person. We pray for their safety, but at the same time, we pray for the passion for adventure in the name of Jesus to be ignited in their hearts. We pray that they would discover the joy of working for you and seeing others come to know you. And I pray that these experiences will be transformative both for those who are going and those who are there and receiving. Lord, I know that whenever we encourage each other, we're also encouraged. And so we ask your blessing on these trips. We thank you for godly men and women who are teachers and principals and faculty members, staff members in Christian education, and we pray that you would strengthen and encourage them. May this spring break be a time of rest for those who are able to take time off, and may their families be blessed because of that. And we just enter into this time in your word with grateful hearts. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you want to open up your Bible to the book of Galatians, we're going to spend some time in Galatians chapter 4 and 5 today, so feel free to get it open there. While we're going there, can we continue on the theme of thankful hearts for a minute? Someone said to me this last week that they kind of felt sorry for Pastor George having to preach last Sabbath. And I laughed. I was like, yeah, I was thankful about that. I was thankful that Pastor George was preaching last week. Because if you didn't know, you know, being the first one to preach after Pastor Jonathan, that's got to be a special task. And we had a great week together. If you weren't a part of it with us, let me just share with you that we had 10 days together with Pastor Jonathan Leonardo, something called the Love Reality Tour. And life-changing kind of stuff, people stepping into freedom, lives really significantly impacted. And Pastor Jonathan's a fun guy to be around. He's a fun preacher to listen to. And yeah, I'm not going to lie, it's not a little intimidating to be the first one to step up to the plate after somebody hits a home run like that. And the Holy Spirit used Pastor Jonathan to hit the ball out of the park. We're grateful for that. And then what was cool was Pastor George stood up last week and essentially unapologetically preached half of Pastor Jonathan's sermon from one of the weeks, which was amazing, and shared personally about the ways that his life had been impacted through the experience that we had together as a church. And I valued that. And I'm going to share some things today that I think will be helpful and that come out of my own heart and my own experience. Look, can I tell you something? Your pastors are blessed as much as you are when we experience something like this together in the Word. You know what? And I thought about the reality that, like, you know, people who are fans of sports, you know, when your team does something big, you know, and you have a big parade, you like rehearse what happened. You watch the highlights of your favorite player, you know, that one dunk and those things. Like, it's okay for us to celebrate together what God has done. It's okay, and in fact, it's helpful for us to celebrate together what God has done. And I mean, you've probably been in there where you maybe in a situation where, like, you're with a friend and you're like, you're talking about a movie that you really, really liked. And then you like rehearse the entire scene, both parts of the dialogue. And you're like, and then they went over here and they did that. Like, that's a part of like a shared experience of something that we're excited about. And we're excited about what God is doing. So it's good and okay, and please, I hope you're doing the same. I hope you're sharing together what God has been doing. It's a healthy thing for us to be able to do, and it cultivates hearts full of thanksgiving for God's goodness. I laid awake last night. We were here at Relevance last night. If you don't know, the third Friday night of every month, our young adult ministry here presents a night of worship and for the whole church. It's not just for young adults. So if you've been staying away, going, man, I wish I could be there. This is your opportunity. I know that some people have said, man, the young adults are doing some exciting stuff. I wish I was a young adult. You could come to Relevance. It's for the whole church. There's old people like me there. It's good. Just come on, and third Friday night of every month, we worship together, and there's some food afterwards. You don't have to stay if you need to get home to things, but usually it wraps up like around 10 or 10:30, and so we were here kind of putting things back together in the sanctuary for today. I went home. I got home about 10:45 or so, took my shower, went and got in bed, and I laid there and laid awake. And it was not a bad thing. You ever lay awake? Like, stressing about stuff, like running through like negative stuff in your head or what all the things you need to do tomorrow. You got a busy, troubled mind. I've done that before too. Sometimes that happens to preachers before they speak. That wasn't last night. I just laid awake and just soaked in the goodness of God. And with a thankful heart, just rehearsing to myself the things that I've heard about what we're experiencing and the freedom that people are finding in the beauty of the gospel. It's good. So one of the things that I was doing was in my heart just thinking about the thanksgiving that I have for all of the work that went into helping that Love Reality Tour thing happen. And I know that we don't say thank you often enough, but there have been there's a huge crew of people that have worked super hard, and one of them is just walking in the door again, Pastor Randy. You know, I don't think anybody worked harder that week than Pastor Randy, and part of that is because he goes to work all day during the day, and he works part-time here as our worship pastor. Big responsibilities. Pastor Randy just started a new job back over at the Nike campus about a month ago now, and lots of big responsibilities there. In the middle of all that, we got the Love Reality Tour, and then we follow it up with a week where he led worship last night at Relevance, and again today, and like just, I want to tell you something. Pastor Randy does all kinds of things that are not a part of his job description that are a blessing to this church. For instance, we were trying to get organized with the move, and we needed an online sign-up way for people to get connected with the groups for the move and stuff. I ended up going over to Pastor Randy's house. The only hours that the two of us matched up on were like 8 o'clock until about 12:30 or 1 o'clock in the morning one night last week during the midst of all of this craziness that was happening. And that's just one example of the ways that he's contributing to things, design stuff behind the scenes. I mean, things aren't included in the worship pastor's job description. And so, Pastor Randy, we're blessed by you and by Chandra. We're so thankful for your family and your kids. I heard Lucy's little voice during worship just singing at the top of her lungs. It was blessing my heart. There were all kinds of teams that were doing things like the cooking. And I mean, there were lots of volunteers who worked along with them, but Jim and Judy Zacherson and the way that they sacrificed and to be here and leading those teams. And our tech teams, Hans, and they're back there working again already, but Hans and Jason and Dave Herger and so many, our deacons and our children's ministry people, Anna and Laura, the work that they do behind the scenes, and Hannah, who's, you know, in grad school and working led worship every night and helped me with a bunch of registration stuff. And these are people, Ray and Penny. I mean, we need to say thank you, because here's the thing. Those jobs that you were doing, that's ministry that you were doing. Like, you guys are responsible for putting this church in the place where people are able to come and be able to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to say to them. And so all of us who received owe a debt of gratitude to all of the people who were working to make this happen. And I know I run the risk when I mention names, I don't mention them all. And I just want you to know, if you worked, no matter what you did, I know some of you were running vacuums, man, and that's a job that needs to get done. There are all kinds of thankless jobs that happened, and I just want you to know, from my heart, I was laying awake last night with a heart of thanksgiving worshiping the Lord for the fact that we're a team that's doing fun stuff together, declaring the gospel, lifting up the goodness of Jesus Christ. And there's nothing better. There's nothing better than to be able to do that with people that you love. We said thank you to Justin. You said Deb's clapping her hands. All right, that's good. That's good. We can all say thank you. Is Wee here? I don't think I didn't see him yet. Is he here, Ashok?
Yeah, he's here.
Oh man, okay, you can go get him. In first service, we gave Justin Koo thanks. And one of the things that I was saying is that, you know, at the end of the week, we have Pastor Jonathan here and everything. We have this great experience. And by the way, it's not done because we're doing the move, and we're going to see him back here in November for another 10 days, if you didn't know. But I was just saying, the first service, it was great because we also got connected with Justin. A lot of you guys connected with Justin really for the first time during Love Reality Tour. And he ain't going anywhere because this is his church. We're his people, and he's one of ours. So we gave a little thank you. Oh, here's Wee right now. Come on up here, Wee. So Wee is one of the, and Siona is here too. Awesome. Buddy, this is good. This is good. I sent you a text, man, during worship, and you didn't get it. So I was like, be in here, man, at the beginning of the sermon. Hi, Siona. I'm glad you're here. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You got a belly? Okay. So this is Wee, and Wee is the one who was behind so much of what you saw in terms of the marketing for Love Reality Tour. And I think I told you, I mean, we celebrated the fact that we were praying that there wouldn't be empty seats. And there were, I think our max attendance was the last Friday night of the week. We had 276 people here. This with a shoehorn, we get about 230 in the sanctuary, right? So we had 60 or so in overflow. And this guy right here was the behind-the-scenes guy that did so much on the back-end Facebook marketing campaign. And that's your specialty, Wee, and we're super grateful for it. So we wanted them to be in uniform at Pleasant Valley, and you guys know that flannel is a thing. Yeah, that's a good one right there. So here's the deal. It's part of the official uniform for Pleasant Valley. Even though Pastor George doesn't wear it, it's okay. The rest of us are gonna that's gonna be man on man right now. So here's a shirt for you, dude.
Thank you.
These guys, I told them we wanted to get them a flannel. When I say we, I mean you guys bought this for we and for Jonathan, and so say thanks to them, we. But here's the deal. We were like, I was joking with them, and I sent them the website. Said, hey, we're gonna get you a Patagonia flannel, and so. All four of these cats picked a solid color navy blue flannel. And I was like, that hurt my heart a little bit. I'm not going to lie. I was like, come on, dude. But anyway, so you guys are going to be twinning hard.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah,
right. Are we good? we're just going to have a baby dedication at the same time. Another one. That's good. All right, so we... Thank you for what you do.
Thank you.
Wee's work is not done. We're actually doing follow-up, and he's helping with that. So, yeah, you can say thanks to Wee as well.
Yeah, so, pray for
the live stream viewers will thank you.
Jonathan is doing Love Reality in April in Temecula, and we're doing the same thing. So, you know, pray for the church down there that it is as... that God calls as many people into these seats as he did here.
Yeah, yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Thank you.
We'll talk some more as a congregation with you because we want to hear more of what God is doing. But it's exciting to see. You can go back to whatever conversation you were having, but thanks for coming in. Having two services is a great thing, isn't it? It's awesome. You know, we're not done celebrating because God's not done doing. We wanted to share with you that there were 13 people who requested to be baptized in the last few weeks. And yeah, amen. Give a shout out for that. Amen. The first of those baptisms are happening next Sabbath. There's going to be 3 baptisms next Sabbath. And looking forward to that. I think Andrew's going to give Pastor Ashok, is it going to be your first baptism? Where'd he go? Is it your first baptism? Yeah, so we got, listen, come on. This is worship what we're doing right now. There's when we come together and we rehearse, the Bible did this over, people did this over and over again. The children of Israel would come together and celebrate God's blessings. Can we say amen to the fact that God has raised up a young adult ministry here that has given young adults empowerment to ministry, including, but not limited to, pastoral ministry, being elders, you know, both men and women, and we have one of our own who's serving on the staff now as an intern pastor, and he's going to baptize his first person next Sabbath. And so I want to say today, because next Sabbath is going to be about the people who are getting baptized, but today it's about the opportunity that God has given us to be able to be a part of your journey, Pastor Ashok. And we will be celebrating that baptism in a big way, but part of what we'll be celebrating is the fact that God is using you and your ministry here and his goodness. Wow. Guys, we could do what I did last night laying awake the whole service and then say a prayer and go. Some of you are like, amen, we could get to the go part. Okay, but we're not going to leave without the word. So Galatians chapter 5. I was thinking about the reality that we've stepped into freedom and we've had this big experience with God. And if you've been in a place in your life where you've made a change, I can almost promise you that you've also experienced that sometimes the changes that happen aren't permanent. I mean, that's real. I don't want to be a downer, and I'm not going to be a downer, because I think that what God is doing is going to continue. And one of the reasons I have great confidence in that is because God promised that what he's doing is going to continue. We'll get to Galatians in a second, but Philippians 1:6 says that he who began this good work in you is going to be faithful to carry it forward to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. So we should say it together, and I'm looking at some of you who I know God has been working in your hearts in a big way. Like, this is God doing this. It's not Pastor Jonathan doing it. You with me? Jonathan's a great guy. He's a good speaker. I love him. We have fun together, and I'm so thankful. He's blessed my life. He's helped me to understand new things about the gospel in some really significant ways. But what we're experiencing isn't a move of Jonathan. What we're experiencing is a move of the Holy Spirit. When God moves through the power of the Holy Spirit, the promise is that that will continue. So let it be said right now that even though in the back of our minds we might be saying, yeah, but how long until we come down off the mountain? Like, this won't last forever, you know? I mean, it's like we probably all have a friend or are a friend who's made positive changes like 30 times, the same change. You know what I'm talking about? Like, okay, I got a friend who quit smoking like 30 times before God finally gave him the victory over that completely, right? So sometimes we struggle with the change, the positivity, and then we go like, how long is this going to last for, and can we stay where we're at? Let me tell you something. The book of Galatians, written for people that had a taste of freedom and were going back on it. Yeah? So Galatians 5, verse 1, if this is all I did was read this verse, you'd have like the whole what's in my heart right now for us today is Galatians 5 and verse 1. So Christ has truly set us free. We sang the words, who the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure, this is the New Living Translation, make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Hey, getting free is good. Getting free is one thing. Staying free, that's the journey of faith that the Holy Spirit wants to lead us on. Okay, so we begin there. Boys and girls, I got a Fred Meyer bag right here on the front pew. Whenever illustrations come in a Fred Meyer bag, like a shopping bag, kind of, yeah, we're going old school before bags were outlawed, I guess. I got an illustration that you're going to like. Do you guys know what this is? Kids, if you know what it is, adults, don't say it out loud. But kids, do you know what this is? It's not a baby rattle. It rattles, but it's not a baby rattle. It's got teeth. Oh, yeah. Well, it's kind of like a mouse trap, but that's a big mouse I'm talking about right there. It's a rat trap. It's a rat trap. You know that when Chandra's asking me live stream people if I have used this, do you know that when you go to the hospital and they do surgery on you, they've used those instruments before? Touche. I have bleach. Okay, anyway, thank you for asking, Chandra. One of Chandra's kids, I need a volunteer. Would you like to come up? All right, who wants to come up and help me out with this, guys? Any boys and girls want to come up? Now you asked the question. Nobody's going to want to come up here anymore. All right. What? Come on up, Ollie. Come on. Okay. I need a volunteer who can read. All right. Come on up. Come on up, dude. All right. You can read? Well, did you want to come? Okay. Well, come on. We'll have two volunteers. Come on, Kiara. All right. So we got two volunteers here. Which one of you wants to volunteer to put your finger in the rat trap? All right. So this is, you guys know what this is. This is a rat trap, right?
Yeah.
And rats, little beady-eyed creatures. They're kind of cute, actually. But they're not cute after this gets finished with them, let me tell you that. It reminds me of a joke, which I will not tell you in church because it has to do with an animal. And anyway, so I won't tell you the joke in church, but I was going to say, like, I would show you what the rat looks like after this is done with them, but no, that's not good. We won't do that. All right, so this thing has teeth that are pretty, like, sketchy.
It looks like an alligator.
Yeah, it looks like an alligator. Here, I'll give you a microphone. What does it look like?
An alligator.
Yeah. Why does it look like an alligator?
Because it has a wide mouth with teeth.
With lots of teeth, doesn't it? Yeah. I know you can read. What does that say?
Do not touch.
Do not touch. On the white thing right there, it says do not touch. On that thing right there. Yeah, see? Just wanted you guys to know it's real. The spring is not out of this thing. All right, so do you want to let it bite you a little bit?
No.
Like, right. It's real. It's real. You don't have to.
That's
you don't
I'm
have
scared.
To. Okay, yeah, that's good. Okay, all right, good. He says that's why I'm scared. It's real. Okay, so you're right. It's good to be scared. So here's... So the good news is it says do not touch right there, which you would think that a rat would be smart enough. I mean, it's written right there, like, but rats can't read. So the rat comes, he gets hopefully his head right there, and the trap has a nice little hole in it right there. It's kind of a little freaky because there's like a little beady eye looking up at you. Don't ask me how I know this. So I want you to think about this trap for a little bit. Hannah's like, oh, deliver me. This is a good illustration right here. You're going to remember this, Hannah. Okay, so here's what I need for us to do. I should have brought like a stick or something so we could really watch it go. That'd be good. So here's what I need for us to do, though. I need us to use our imaginations together, and let's imagine something. Let's imagine that a rat was stuck in this trap with a little beady eye looking right up there, deader than a doornail. Okay, but it's our imaginations now. And I come and I open the rat trap, and magically, the rat comes back to life with a memory of all that had transpired. Everything, like walking up to the trap, going, there's some good-looking food. I think I'm going to eat that food. Oh, look, it says don't touch, but it probably didn't mean that. It's okay. All right, I'm going to eat it anyway. Trap closed. Man, dying is not fun. Right? And the rat can remember all of that. Now, here's a question for you guys. What do you think the chances are that that rat would go, I'm going to finish that meal. I'm going to go ahead and try one more time. Do you think the rat would do that?
No.
Do you think the rat would do that?
If it's stupid enough, yes.
If it's stupid enough, yes. Here's the good news. Rats are smarter than human beings. All right, think about that for a minute, all of us together. Yeah, in my imaginary hypothetical story, the rat is smarter than a human because, of course, if a rat could remember and it just got delivered out of a trap, there's no way it would go back, right? Okay, so here's a question. What's your name again?
Daniel.
Do you trust me?
Yeah.
Do you?
Not with the rat trap.
So you see that white thing right there that says do not touch?
Yes.
I want you to touch it. This isn't really part of the illustration. I just want to see if you trust me. Yeah, it's loaded.
I don't want my hand to be like...
Well, do you trust me?
Yeah.
Okay, touch it. Kiara, do you trust me more than he does? High five. It's okay, Daniel. There's some things that you shouldn't trust, and a rat trap is one of them, especially if it's held by me. Okay, all right. Good job, you guys. Thanks for coming up and volunteering. Here's the thing. Why? Have you been caught in a trap before? Yeah? Have you really? Have you been caught in a trap before? And you've been released from the trap? Like, I want you to think for a second, because I'm going to throw us a curveball. It's the kind of curveball I think Pastor Jonathan would throw us. I think we've been caught in some traps in our lives, haven't we? One of them is sin. I mean, sin's ugly, right? You don't need me to tell you that. You don't even need the Bible to tell you that. Sin is ugly. The consequences of it will tie you up and ruin your life. And we got out of the trap, right? But sin isn't the only trap. You know what else is a trap? Come on. The law. The law is a trap. And we've been freed from the law. That's the freedom that we're talking about here, is freedom that we're like, and then people are like, oh, because as Adventists, we're really good at the word but. But, wait a second. No, I'm just saying, we'll read the text. We've done it all week long. Like, we've been freed from a trap, and our heads were squished in it. Some of us have been there for a really long time in our lives. And by the grace of God, the trap got opened up. Right? And why would we go back into a trap of slavery? But we do. We do. Notice I didn't say we will. We do. And many of us have been in that cycle. We've been stuck in that cycle. And the deeper we've been stuck in it, the greater the sense of freedom and the breath that we take. Like, that's part of the goodness that we're celebrating together. I love hearing the stories that are coming out. Or not stories even, just the testimonies of like, man, it's been so good. I had a conversation standing right back here by the soundboard last night with my brother Nick. And I'll just tell you, it's so good to watch the gospel at work in our lives and to be able to go like, I mean, it's like, I'm just talking with Nick and like the excitement coming out of him was like contagious to me. And I left, that's part of why I was laying awake last night. I'm just fired up about God's goodness and the beauty of what it means for us to live in freedom. It's a good thing. We should be celebrating that. And we should be committed to staying in the freedom that we found and not going back under slavery. Amen. So my heart for us, for you, for my children, for our family, for this church family, every one of you, you're a part of my family. And my heart for us is that we stay in the freedom that we found. Now, if you're like, hey, that isn't me because I haven't found it yet. Listen, I can't preach the whole thing of Love Reality Tour in one sermon. I'm talking to us out of our experience. If you weren't here and we're not a part of that, here's the beauty of the interwebs. There's a playlist. One playlist, one click will get you all 11 messages. You should go and binge watch them all. Like, come on, people. You can binge watch your favorite show on Netflix. Okay, just binge watch them. Like, let's see what the record will be for all 11 now, okay? Can you handle that much gospel goodness in like 11 hours later, you're going to be like glassy-eyed and full of freedom in the gospel. It's going to be amazing. I can't take us through all of that, but I'm just saying, like, it's real, right? And it's all in the Word of God. So we ought to be celebrating that, and we ought to be committed to staying in that and being free. Can we read just a little bit more of Scripture, and then I want to share four ways that I think we can pursue staying in freedom. Verse 8, Galatians 4, verse 8. This is the prequel to verse 5, or chapter 5, verse 1 that I already read. Before you Gentiles knew God, you were slaves to so-called gods that do not even exist. So now that you know God, I love how the New Living Translation says it, now that you know God, or should I say, now that God knows you, why do you want to go back again and become slaves once more to the weak and useless spiritual principles of this world. You are trying to earn favor with God by observing certain days or months or seasons or years. I fear for you, perhaps all my hard work with you was for nothing. By the way, if you think that Galatians was only about circumcision and like people trying to go back under the law through circumcision, you're wrong. There's all kinds of ways that people are called back under the slavery of the law. And as Adventists, we do that because we're, like I said before, we're really good at that word but. Like we want to qualify because somehow it feels like, well, what if I say then that, you know, keeping the commandments isn't important? No, listen, if keeping the commandments could produce a righteous character, then Jesus wouldn't have needed to have died. Like our freedom is that we begin where he left off. When Jesus came up out of the grave victorious in resurrection, that's where we start, guys. That's the goodness of God, and it's good. It's better than you've believed it to be. That's part of why people get so excited about the freedom that we find. Now, here's the deal. We live it out. We're living a life of faith and a life, you know, look, go read Hebrews 11 sometime this week. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. All of the messed up people that are included in Hebrews 11 had one thing in common. They believed against the odds. They had faith that God was true to his promise. And if his word promised that you can live a life in the Spirit and live in freedom, then his word is good on that. You could take him at that word. Yeah. Staying free, man, it's a thing. And it's something I desire for us. Something that Paul desired for the Galatians. I mean, he says straight up, I fear for you. Perhaps all my hard work with you was for nothing. Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to live as I do in freedom from these things. For I have become like you Gentiles, free from those laws. Do you know how unlikely it is that those words would ever come out of the lips of Saul? I mean, this dude is a Pharisee of Pharisees. He kept the law perfectly by his own testimony. And now he's saying, I just wish you could live in the freedom that I went from being a Pharisee to becoming a Gentile in the sense of like, I'm completely free from those laws. Was Paul living his freedom in an adulterated way? No, he was living in the Spirit. He was led by the Lord to live a life where he's walking out what it looks like to live a life that's guided and directed by the Holy Spirit. Do you think it's by chance, church, that in November the elders and the pastors were praying about God's vision for this church for this next year, and we settled on two words and a Bible text, and those two words were come awake. And the Bible text was, when the Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. Like we live according to the Spirit, not according to the law, not according to the flesh. That's true freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And it's a beautiful thing when we get to see that. So how do we stay free? I know we're almost done with church, and we're not almost done with staying free. I'm gonna give you a thumbnail of what I could give you, okay? We're gonna try to be done in time to let you out of here before your dinner burns. Four things. You wanna stay free? Get your mind right. Get your mind right. Now, don't hear me. I'm not laying this on you like, you better straighten up and get your, no, I'm saying, I need for my mind to be rightly oriented according to the word of God. Because my thinking is messed up. And I need to come back to and get reoriented on a regular basis to the word of God. And so what starts in our minds gets lived out in our lives. And if what's in your mind is a constant stream of condemnation, that's not from the Lord. It's not. There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And so if you're in Christ and you're seeking to live by the Spirit and you hear a voice of condemnation, it's not from God. That's something that's trying to take away the freedom and put you back under slavery, right? So we get our minds right by coming to Scripture, by coming to the Lord in prayer, and orient our minds according to what God says to be true about our lives. So if you want to stay free, get your mind. Here's a question. You want to get your mind right, and where does that happen? Does that happen in church? Sometimes, yeah. I think it's happening more and more in churches, and I'm glad for that. I'd like to think that there's something good about when we come together, we lift up the cross of Christ. That happens by the commitment of the pastoral staff and the leaders of this church. That's what we intend to do every time we're together. So yes, I think that's a place. But really, that's once a week. Twice if you're a pastor and you go to both services, okay? So we need more than that. Where do we get our minds right? Come on, talk to me. Where do we get our minds right? In the secret place. That's right. We get our minds right in the secret place. And let me tell you something. I can bear testimony to the fact that when I'm not in the secret place, I am not in my right mind. My wife, ask my wife. She'll tell you the truth. Don't tell them all the truth, baby. I'm saying. It's true. I'm not saying it just to make a joke. When I am not in the secret place, when I'm not connecting with God in the secret place, I am a mess. My life is not oriented right, and my mind is not oriented right. I need to be in the secret place, okay? And if you don't know what that is, read Matthew 6. Bible talks about going into the room, shutting the door, and meeting with your Heavenly Father who is in the secret place. That's time alone with God. You get in the secret place, your mind gets right. Okay, so that's the first thing. You get your mind right. The second thing is you get your heart right. What does it mean to have our hearts right? I mean, I'm not talking about cleaning up a mess. I'm talking about orienting our hearts to be thankful to God. Are you living out of a heart full of thankfulness? You get your heart right for thankfulness. Everything in your life falls into place behind thankfulness, right? I'm not saying that everything is golden and that you're never going to have challenges, but the way that you respond to challenges, when you've postured your heart intentionally, you made the choice to say, I'm gonna live with a heart full of thanksgiving. That has helped me. That's Pastor John. I'm ripping off Pastor Jonathan's stuff like left and right here, but I'm telling you, why am I sharing this with you? Because it's impacted my life. Pastor Jonathan gave me a book, which I referenced several months ago, called Secrets of the Secret Place. It's been a blessing to me. When we get our hearts right, we get our thinking right, and we get our hearts oriented in a posture of thanksgiving, man, stuff starts to happen. Things shift in a significant way. Okay. I was going to share something with you, and then I was like, no, I shouldn't because it's too long, but I'm going to because this is just personal, and I want to share it. Sue me. I'm letting you out late. Not very late, okay? There's a song that we sang together that Pastor Jonathan encouraged us to use as one of the songs that we use to meet the Lord in the secret place. It's called Be Enthroned. You guys know it? Be enthroned upon the praises of a thousand generations. Yeah, that's the one. So I'm singing that in the shower. Thank you. I'm singing that in the shower. And the Holy Spirit impressed on my heart, hey, those generations that you're talking about, those aren't just in the past. They're the next generations. Those are your kids. Those are your grandkids. And I'm like, I'm singing that in the shower, just that, with tears streaming down my face. I'm all messed up. And I can't listen to that song now. I can't sing that song now without the acknowledgement that I'm singing this song as what it was, a positive prophecy over the lives of believers. Now, I'm not just talking about a song being prophetic. You know, the thousand generations thing, that did not originate with Hillsong, just in case you're wondering, or Bethel, or whoever it was. Is it Bethel? I guess it's Bethel. Anyway, that was not original to them. That's straight out of the Bible. The Bible talks about 1,000 generations. Did you know that? Okay, so this is where God's taken me. And like today I was like in second service during worship, I'm like, I got to look that up. Where is that? Where is that? Because I know there's a couple of different places. Did you know one of the places is right in the middle of the Ten Commandments? What? Did you hear anybody say one time, or have you heard a preacher say that, you know, honor your father and your mother, that's the only one that has a promise in it, right? Like that's the commandment with a promise. No, no, no. The third commandment, don't make gods of idols. You worship me, I'm the true God. Like the stuff, when you go into idol worship, that stuff affects your children. They're not free from the effects of your sin in idol worship. But hey, guess what? That's three or four generations. For those who love me and obey these commands, like if you've got a heart of love for me and you're lifting that up from a heart that's right before me, I'm going to bless 1,000 generations. That's right in that's in verse 6 of Exodus 20. And I'm like, yes, thank you, God, for that promise. It's not the only place that he makes it. So I want to just share it with you that like this isn't just stuff that random stuff I'm talking about. This is like real stuff. You get your heart oriented right before God. You start the day off with intentional decision to live with a posture of thankfulness. I'm telling you, it will impact you, and it will impact others. Because God will give you something in the secret place that you can share. Oh, that's my fourth point. I haven't done my third one. Here's my third one, super quick. You ready? Get connected. Get connected. You want to stay? Like, and I'm talking about secret place. I'll stay on secret place for 1 second and tell you this. Get connected with the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Here's the deal. The Holy Spirit is the real deal, and Jesus himself said so. He said, look, if you knew, you know, you're sad that I'm going away, but I'm telling you, it's going to get better because there's going to be a Holy Spirit that's going to come and live inside of you. Like, that is ridiculous, you guys. The promise of the infilling of the Holy Spirit is mind-blowing, and if you... Somebody's going to want to say but when I finish reading this, but I'm just going to read it straight out of Scripture. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. Listen to this. I'll start with verse 26. I'm writing these things to warn you about those who want to lead you astray. Out of the freedom, right back under condemnation, under the law, whatever. Verse 27. But you have received the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. What? John, what are you doing? Huh. It sounds a lot like some other words that John wrote, which were the words of Jesus. You know, when the Spirit comes, he's going to guide you into all truth. You mean the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, can come and live in my heart and guide me to walk out a life of faith that honors God? Are you kidding me? The Spirit, you received the Holy Spirit and he lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know, and what he teaches is true. It is not a lie. So just as he has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. So get connected with Christ. Get connected with the Holy Spirit. Get connected with God the Father. Get connected with other believers, right? Join a move group. That's what I'm trying to say. You should be meeting with people in their homes and praying together and encouraging one another. Paul, in Romans chapter 1, we went through this in the second episode of The Move. If you didn't watch it, you should watch it. Paul says, I want to come to you, and I hope you know how fervently I pray for you. Who's praying for you every week? Maybe your mother? Who from this church is praying for you every week? I'm telling you, I'm offering you an opportunity to hang out once a week with people who will pray for you fervently. Why wouldn't we want to do that? That's a good thing. And then Paul says, when we're together, we encourage each other. I encourage you, but you also encourage me. We want to be connected. That's one of the ways that we stay in the liberty that we have. Okay? Praise team, you can come up. I'm almost done. The fourth way that we stay in the freedom that we found is by sharing. Listen. Paul, in that same Romans 1 passage that I referenced, he talks about how he's under a sense of obligation. Now, obligation, that's a hard word because, I mean, it sounds like it's like a debt that you owe. I mean, the idea that you would be delivered from something and then you'd have a debt? What? Listen, let me tell you something. It's a biblical principle that if you've been forgiven much, you love much. And if you've been forgiven little, you love little. Now, here's the thing. Some of us love little, not because we haven't been forgiven much, but because we just kind of forgot about what we've been forgiven. I'm pointing the finger at myself, in fairness. But like, there are times when I just kind of forget about how good the grace of God is and how much. Let me tell you something, for real. Apart from Jesus Christ, I was messing my life up really, really bad, and I was messing up the lives of people around me. That's real. I have been forgiven much. So laying in bed and being thankful for the grace of God, that's not down-talking. That's just being like, God, thank you so much that you haven't given me what I deserve, and in fact, you've given me everything that Jesus deserves. Like, I'm down for that. Anybody here been forgiven much? You can raise your hand. It's good. Raise it all the way up high. Get your hand up. Raise your hand if you've been forgiven much. All right, now leave it up. Don't put your hand down yet. I know St. Adventist Church is some of you like, oh, can we please put our hands down? That's why Adventist Church is something like the ceiling fan's a little low. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you've been forgiven much, go ahead and put your other hand up too. Now we're talking right here. Because this is the position of people who have been forgiven much. You know, and here's the thing. Your iPhone knows what this is. Android users, I'm taking it on faith that you know too. Your phone knows too. What is this right here? What's that emoji? Praise hands. That's what I'm talking about. This is a biblical position right here. It's okay. You can put your hands down now if you want to. If you want to, you can just leave them up if you want. Just like to say, Lord, I've been forgiven much and I love much right now. Like, that is true. That is a true expression of goodness, of God, like of worship to Him. And I'm not just saying, by the way, like, if you've ever been in a place where you might have been uncomfortable because of what people were doing in worship or whatever, let me say something. When your heart responds to God for His goodness, it doesn't matter what people around you think, right? I won't judge you for not putting your hands up if you don't want to, and hopefully you won't judge me as your pastor because I'm telling you, it's not a show. It's for me, it's my way of saying, yes, that's me. You want to know? This is crazy. You want a little insight? I'll give you a little insight. You know, sometimes I have one hand up, sometimes I have two hands up. Okay? This is just me. This is my brain. Most of the time when I have one hand up, it's because I'm saying, yes, that's me. And that's where I'm at. That's that the Lord delivered me. Yes, yes. Two hands is like, God, I'm praising you for who you are. So this is ultimately, it's not about who I am apart from who you say that I am. When you are in a place where you've been forgiven much, there's an obligation to share. And it's a joyful obligation. You get out of one of these, you think you're going to keep that a secret? I mean, the rat that got away had some things to tell his friends, let me tell you. You know what I'm talking about? We've been delivered from death into freedom. We got stuff to sing about, and we're going to do it right now because I'm done. The Holy Spirit isn't done, though, so let's sing. You guys, like, wrecked me at the beginning right there. That was, like, that wasn't being thrown wasn't a part of that during first service. That was just, these guys are geniuses, and that's the way the Holy Spirit leads, and it's a good thing. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for what you are doing. Keep us connected. Keep us strong. Keep us encouraged. Keep us connected even when we don't feel strong and when we're discouraged. Thank you that your strong arms of love are around us. Thank you that when we totally mess it up, we're still your sons and daughters. You're still madly in love with us. It still gives you good pleasure, great pleasure, Ephesians 1 says, to call us your sons and daughters, to adopt us, to make us. You didn't just adopt us, you gave us everything. We're your heirs. Maybe you're here today and you're like, yeah, this sermon is 3 days too late. I already messed it up. Hey, you know what? there's somebody who didn't mess it up this week. That's Jesus. You live in him. So the fact that he didn't mess it up is real good news, because you're living out his life. It's okay, just come back to him as a son or a daughter. Thank him for the identity that he's given you, for the purpose, the worth that he ascribes to you. Maybe you haven't said what you needed to say to make your peace with God, but let me tell you something. There is nothing like living with a clean conscience before God. And that's a freedom. That's a weight off of your shoulders that I want you to experience if you haven't experienced that. Anybody here who's living that life of freedom could share with you how to have that happen. Come and talk to one of us. Come and talk to me. Come and talk to Pastor Randy, Pastor Ashok, church members. There's tons of us. It's not any special pastor dust that gets sprinkled. This is about us just living out the reality of who God says we are. I don't want you to leave here not receiving that freedom. Lord, we thank you that after we've tasted freedom, you let us out of that trap. The trap of sin, the trap of being under the law of sin and death, trying to keep the law in order to please you or earn something from you. Thank you that you just bring us out of that and put your spirit in our hearts and give us the grace to be able to walk it out. And Lord, I pray that there will be joy in that for us in the journey, and that you'll keep us anchored to you, that you'll keep us centered in you, keep us connected with you. That's my prayer for us, that we could live in this good grace. Bless us today through this week. In Jesus' name we pray.